Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Will you open up your Bibles today to Psalm 127:1? That's where we're going to start today. I'm going to go ahead and let you know something real quickly. This is a four-week message I'm going to preach in 1 week. So this is going to be like drinking from a fire hydrant today, okay? So I want you to prepare yourself because I say that, who knows? We might just go 4 weeks on this one topic. Some of you may not show up for the next 3 weeks then, but that's fine because this is what I feel like the Lord is telling us to our church right now. Like Pastor Chelsea said a moment ago, well, let me say this first. We're in a series called House Rules, okay? We're learning about and cultivating a house of honor and how that looks, but not just in this church home, but also in your home. I believe it is important for the people of the church to know how to honor one another. Because if you can't honor one another, that means you can't honor your spouse. If you can't honor your spouse, you can't honor your children. And then from that, everything begins to slowly disintegrate. If we can't respect one another, we can't have honor for one another, we can't value each other, we can't see the differences in value, we can't see the differences in the weights and things that we may be carrying. It is impossible to honor someone if you don't know someone. So it starts with just knowing somebody. Scripture gives us this, it says this, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hear me tonight, you can't bear a burden if you can't honor the person. Therefore, you cannot fulfill the law of Christ. You cannot fulfill what Jesus has called us to do. How many of you want to follow Jesus and fulfill what he's called us to do? All of us do. Well, part of that means that we have to honor one another. So we've been in this idea of what it looks like creating a culture of honor. And the first week we talked about honoring women and what that looks like in ministry and life and all these different things. And then we talked, and women can carry the word of God. If Mary can be trusted to carry the word made flesh, then women can be trusted to preach and proclaim the good news and the gospel of Jesus to every person, every tribe, tongue, and nation can hear the word of God from a woman. Amen. All right. If you don't, you can't get down with that. Oh, well. Man, we talked about how what it looks like to honor you and how culture has really done a terrible job of making men look like idiots all the time and look like they can't get their stuff together and they always have to be saved out of something. And men deserve respect. Scripturally, men deserve respect. But that means that men, we are called to lead, and leading looks like servanthood. Part of the reason that men have looked like idiots is because men have tried to take on everything and go, I'm just the head honcho in this house. You better listen and respect me. But the problem is this. Whenever you think you know it all, Scripture says this, pride comes before a fall. So therefore, if you think you know it all the time and you don't need your wife to speak into anything, you're going to fall and look like an idiot. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So let me save you from looking stupid. Listen to your wife. Yeah. Lend your ear for a moment. Take in what she has to say. And women, don't demean him whenever he has a different opinion than you. Mutual respect. Mutual respect. Now, we've talked about ladies. Ladies. We've talked about men. And fellas. Yeah. It's from Hey Y'all Outcast. We're talking about children today. We're talking about children today. In this house, children are honored. Amen. They're honored. They're not. And they are gifts and trained to walk in honor in this house. And that's what this is about today. So I really want you to open your heart this morning. And I'm going to go and say this right off the cuff. Okay? Right off the cuff. That it's interesting how little the church really discusses this. And it shows how biblically illiterate the church is. Because if you actually study Scripture, welcoming children is spoke about from the mouth of Jesus on numerous occasions. Matter of fact, it is spoke on more than specific issues that are spoke on in the church week in and week out. If you study the words of Jesus, you'll find out that Jesus actually, Jesus talks about welcoming children even more than he mentions sexual immorality. Well, y'all got quiet in this church today. I'm not saying that we shouldn't talk about that, but I'm saying it shows an imbalance in the church. And if we don't teach and if we don't welcome our children, teach and train our children, then don't be surprised when the byproduct is the other sinful things that we have to touch on in church. What if we just taught our children from the beginning? Made space for them in the beginning. Rather than go, oh no, they're prodigals now. Now we got to do everything in our power to bring them. What if we just started actually showing them and teaching them who Jesus is now? Not a domineering, not a vengeful, not a judgmental Jesus, but the loving Jesus of Scripture. What if we taught our kids about that Jesus? Maybe some of the reason you can't teach your children about that Jesus is because you've never experienced that Jesus. Hopefully this will heal you today, some in this sermon. So we've talked about the last two things, and now we're going to talk about kids. Now, here's the balance. Kids are not worshipped, but they're also not ignored. They're not treated like burdens. They're also not allowed to run your house. They're not pushed to the side. Children are to be honored as gifts and trained in the way of Jesus. Because hear me, honor in the house cannot only go one direction, okay? Parents honor children, children honor parents, and the church honors the next generation, and the next generation learns to honor those who have gone before them. That is what honor looks like. I'll say it like this, though. Honor flows from the head down. Honor will flow from the head down. And we're going to get into that today, so just get ready, parents. Put on your big parent pants. And kids, I'm going to talk to you today, too, because there's as much as you want your parents to honor you and respect you and all these things, you also are called to return honor and respect to them. That means every time they tell you something, can be, bruh! Are you kidding me? Okay? But parents, that also means you got to speak to your children with loving kindness on your tongue. Yeah. Both are difficult, but we're going to do better, right? Amen. We're learning how to honor. We're learning how to do better. We're being sanctified through the Scripture today, okay? So I'll just let you know this, that this is not just a parenting message. This is a house message. Some of us in this room, we are raising children at home. Some of you already raised kids and your grandparents. Some of you are spiritual mothers and fathers. Some of you are serving in our kids or youth and ministry departments, the nursery. Some of you are young in the room. Some of you don't have kids yet. Some of you are coaches. Some of you are mentors. Some of you are just a big brother or a big sister. Some of you, you don't have children, but hear me, you're still part of the spiritual family of God. And in this church, children are not interruptions to the adults. They're part of this house. Amen? Right. Write this down. A church that dishonors children is a church that has forgotten what Jesus welcomed. Yeah. A church that dishonors children is a church that has forgotten what Jesus welcomed and has forgotten what Jesus wants to do. Are you in Psalms 127? If you're not, I gave you a lot of time, but if not, it's going to be on the screen. Psalm 127:1 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Okay, so we see the scripture. Let's go down to verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a what? A reward, a gift, a blessing, their heritage. We see in this text, when we read it in context, and we read this in contextually in Scripture, we're seeing that the psalmist is talking about a house, not just a building, but a family, a household, a legacy. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. What does that mean? That means that we have to partner with the Lord to build a home that is fruitful. You can exhaust all your efforts in building schedules, routines, memories, finances, sports calendars, school plans, vacations, birthday parties. But hear me, if the Lord is not in the middle of building your house, you're laboring in vain. Yeah. So right here in this house being built in Scripture says that children are a heritage from the Lord and a fruit of the womb is a reward. The Bible does not call children a headache. It does not call them an inconvenience. It does not call them a distraction. It calls them a heritage. That carries the idea of an inheritance. That means that they are at your legacy, your children, or the children in the kingdom, even if they're not your biological children. They are a heritage of kingdom worth that we are called to pour into. Children are not just people we are trying to survive to get along with until they're 18, even though I know sometimes you feel that way. They are gifts from the Lord. And whenever someone gives you a gift, we treat it carefully, right? If someone blesses you with something very valuable, something that's going to outlast, hear me, whoo, something that's going to outlast you, you want to treat with value. You want to treat with care. So it's expensive. It's meaningful. It's not, I'm going to throw you in the back room and everything will be fine. It's not just, we'll put you to the side, yeah, whatever. No, you protect it, you appreciate it, you steward it, you treat it like it matters. Here's the truth, though. Sometimes we treat gifts from people better than people. Wow. We treat gifts better from people than we do people. You want to know why? Because a lot of times we dehumanize children. Well, from the words of a very wise writer, a person is a person, no matter how small. Dr. Seuss. A child carries value. It is a person. He or she is a person. And we often treat the gifts we get from other people better than we treat the people who are in our home. Many of you will protect a phone with your life. You'll buy the insurance. You'll make sure it has the screen protector, the case that has insurance with it too. You'll put a password on it. You'll put your face ID on it. You'll put the Find My iPhone. We'll treat tools better. Ladies, you'll treat your handbags better, or your shoes better, or your hobbies better. Men, you'll treat your car better than you will your kids sometimes. And this is not what Scripture calls us to do. The gift that our children, they're a heritage from the Lord and cannot be just ignored and pushed to the side. Or let me give it to you in a modern way. Your children are not, listen, you do you, but I'm going to give you just a word of wisdom, okay? It is dangerous to just give your children. And y'all about to say, he's a crunchy dad. I'm not a crunchy dad, I promise you that. My kids still eat Red Dye 40. They still get tablets. They still play PS5. They watch TVs and movies. But we live in a technologically advanced generation. And the truth is, we often, many of us as adults who have young kids, we didn't grow up necessarily with this at the age we are giving it to them. We're giving a six-year-old access to the whole world inside of the screen. And here's where the danger comes. With no limits, no time constraints, no guardrails, we're just trusting our six-year-old. The same six-year-old that you won't allow to have red juice on your carpet is the same kid that you give the tablet to that is full of filth with just a few clicks. Could I, I'm gonna step on your toes. Can I step on your toes? What you are saying without saying it is my carpet means more than my children. Slain in the Holy Spirit in one sentence. Right? And now let me flip it. For you teenagers, that your parents have limits on your phone and your technology. The reason that they have that is because they care more about you than they do their carpet and their material things. Because the condition of your heart matters more than the condition of anything else. Jesus talks about this. Man looks on the outside. God looks upon the heart. And what parents we're called to do is, guess what? Your children don't, it's amazing. Listen, deal with it. It's amazing that we are, children don't know what they're talking about whenever they begin to talk back to us about unloading the dishwasher. But when a kid argues for more freedom on the technology, and they want you to take all the limits and guardrails off, all of a sudden they know better than the parent does. Well, I know I may be getting in your business. And hear me, I'm giving this as just a word of caution and warning to you today of understanding that discipleship looks different in this generation than maybe it did in previous generations. Even in the church, we're learning new ways of discipling people. We have to do the same thing at home. Your children, we're going to get into this. This is why I'm giving this to you, because I'm already ahead of myself. You're called to disciple your children. But often, if you look at our discipleship techniques, we expect the culture to disciple them and then complain about the outcome. Why doesn't the church just fix everything? Because the church is not called to fix everything. The church is called to equip the believer. To do the work of the ministry. And guess what? Your family is ministry. Everyone in this room, whether you are a pastor sitting on this front row or you are someone who's new sitting towards the back, hear me. Your first ministry, my first ministry, is my family. And when that is out of line, whenever I don't minister to my family well, I cannot minister to others well. And if I can't minister to my family well, I need to sit down for a little bit and get some priorities in order. I'm not saying perfection, okay? That's not what I'm speaking about. So if you're beating yourself up right now because I'm saying some things, stop it. Stop beating yourself up, but also let the Holy Spirit change some things within you. It's about sanctification, changing, okay? Are you with me? Have I hurt your feelings yet? Okay. No one amen on that one, so I think I'm good still. Hear me, I know parenting is hard. I got three boys, 13, 19. He's 12. I got 12, 10, and about to be 9, all boys. They're exhausting at times. I know it's difficult, and I know it's hard to get it all right. You aren't going to get it all right, and you have to come to terms. Understand what I say this with? I'm not always going to get it right, and that's okay. Lord still loves me. Lord still loves my children, but I'm going to continue to be sanctified and do the best that I can to disciple my children, right? So I know it's hard to go right, and I know kids can be loud. Right? Anybody ever felt overstimulated with their children? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know kids can ask, it's actually impressive. Kids can ask about 47 questions a minute. How? Like literally how? How did you just do that, child? I know kids can test your patience. You know what the beauty in that is? The fruit of the Spirit is patience. And the only way for patience, the ground and the field of patience of your life to be worked is through opportunities for you to exercise patience. Children are a gift. And sometimes they're just the gift that keeps on giving, Clark. I know children can be exhausting, but hear me, exhausting kids does not mean that kids are not a gift. They're still a gift. If God calls children a gift, we should be careful treating them like a burden. Now, let me bring this balance. Honoring children does not mean worshiping your children, giving into whatever they want. It does not mean children run your house. It does not mean they make your every decision. It does not mean parents lose authority, teenagers. It does not mean your every feeling, teens, become the final word. Your parents are called to disciple your household, and you are called to honor them. We're going to get deeper into that in about 3 weeks. I can tell you right now, this is going to be tough. This is what biblical honor says. Okay, it says you're valuable, you're loved, and you're seen because you matter. That's what honor is. Biblical honor is you're valuable, you're loved, you're seen because you matter to the Lord. And because you matter and your gift, I am going to train you in the ways of the Lord. So we can see from Scripture, children matter to Jesus. You don't have to turn there, but Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 13 to 14. If you throw that up on the screen real quickly, I'm going to read this. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." So we see here in this text, people are bringing children to Jesus, and the disciples say, "Do not touch him. Get away." They start treating Jesus like some king who can't be around children. In other words, they thought Jesus had more important things to do. They thought that the children were in the way, but Jesus saw this differently. Jesus sees this and is greatly displeased. He's frustrated. That means Jesus had a strong reaction, not just a, "Hey, guys, let the kiddos come here." No, he was disgruntled and greatly displeased, which means the disciples knew it. I'd love to know how Jesus responded. I wish I would, like, to be a bird sitting in a tree in this moment. So I think all of us probably, whenever we reenact things in our mind, we can tend to put ourselves how we would respond. Truth about me, I'm going to be real with you, and my wife, just don't say anything, please. I am known to be passive-aggressive if I'm frustrated. And I just imagine Jesus' disgruntled look looking extremely passive-aggressive. Like, "Oh, okay, so kids just aren't going to come. Like, over to me to where y'all think y'all, you just think that they don't need to be close to me. That's what you're saying. Bro, you stupid. Get away." Like, I wonder, I would love to see, I know he didn't say that, guys, okay? But I just love, Jesus gets disgruntled and says, "Hey, let them come here. Don't forbid them. They're part of the kingdom of God." Notice they're saying they have value. The Bible says Jesus is greatly displeased. So here's the question you need to ask yourself, a very serious question, friend. Are we helping children get to Jesus, or are we hindering them? And I don't mean just at church. I mean in your action outside of church. How you look at children, how you act towards children. And I could really go down a rabbit trail that I'm not going to go down this morning. But anyone who harms a child is hindering a child. I'm going to say it again. Whether it be in speech, conduct, or action, anyone who harms a child is hindering a child. And now I'm going to let you in on something that Jesus also says. You ready for this? Because this is strong. Because in Matthew 18, a little bit later, he says this. Then he who said, "Whoever receives one little child in his name receives him, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in Jesus to sin, it would be better." Somebody say better. Better. Always better. "It'd be better for that person to put a millstone, that millstone, let that be hung around their neck and drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus, he's my Lord and King. Jesus said, someone who makes a child stumble should go put a millstone around his neck and jump into the river. Like, Jesus says, this, I believe it's poetic, right? Jesus isn't necessarily saying, go off yourself. That's not what Jesus is saying. I believe Jesus is speaking to a deeper spiritual thing here, that you'd be better off being far away from anyone else than you would to make a child stumble on their walk with the Lord. What does it look like to make a child stumble on their walk with the Lord? I'm going to go and give it to you. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of the biggest things that leads children away from the church. Whenever we say, love your neighbor as yourself, and then you get home, beep, 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 beep. It sounds like Morse code going off in your house if there was a bleeper in your home. Because every time you open your mouth towards your children or about someone else, you're letting another word fly. You're dishonoring everyone around you. You're constantly speaking down to people. You're acting entitled all the time. Guess what? That's hypocrisy. Whenever we start living outside of the way that Jesus has called us to live, it's called hypocrisy. And so that's one of the main reasons that people leave the church is because we have churches that say, act this way, but then outside of the church, we act a different way. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, they're just kids. Jesus doesn't say, put them back, put them in the back until they contribute. Jesus doesn't say, wait until they're older and then care about their soul. Jesus says, when you receive me, you receive, when you receive them, you receive me. And when you cause them to stumble, heaven takes that seriously and sees it. That's what he's really trying to tell us today. So we can't be casual about our children. Children are important to Jesus, so children should be important to us. That's why we put effort into our children's ministry here at High Praise and our youth ministry, because it's not just babysitting, and to our in our nursery as well. It's not just babysitting. It's welcoming what Jesus values. And this is why I believe kids should be in church. Not just because church attendance saves them, because it doesn't. Jesus saves them. But because if Jesus said, let the little children come to me, then we should do everything we can to get them around the word, worship, prayer, godly community, and the presence of God. Amen. Parents, don't be the reason your children don't come to church. Amen. I'm going to say that again. I said, parents, don't be the reason your children don't come to church. Whether it be because you're making them stumble or you're just sitting out. Both are wrong. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response. Y'all really love me today. You said, Pastor, I got to work. Listen, I think some of us, we had kids like, oh, I just can't wait to have children. Teenagers, I'm going to give this to you real quickly, okay? Any young men or young ladies in the room, because it goes, like, both genders fall to this sometimes. Kids are just so cute. I can't wait to have a kid. It's going to be the best day of my life. And, man, raising a kid is going to be so easy. I would never do what they're doing. I know how to raise kids. You watched your niece for an hour. Try 24/7 round the clock raising a child. And then talk to me. I always love when first time parents become parents. Because after, you know, John already knows where I'm about to go. After about a few months, they post this, like, or a few weeks, they like post this whole post about how easy my child is and how beautiful it is raising kids. I'm like, you lying, okay? You lying straight on Facebook to the whole world, okay? Yeah, it's funny right there. Or maybe you're truthing right now, but just give it a few more months. Have another one. Children are a gift, absolutely, but it's difficult. It's work. If you don't want to work, don't have kids. If you don't want another job, don't have children. I notice this. I'm not getting through this, okay? Hey, watch it. I will rush through this. Think about this. In the beginning in Genesis, God commissions Adam and Eve and gives them instruction on what to do with the land. And he says, be fruitful and multiply. All inside of the same calling to steward and have a job. Yeah. Children are your work, not someone else's. I'm going to say that again, parents. Children, if they're in your home, they are your work, not someone else's. Yeah. Take responsibility for your work and do your job. Yeah. Selah. If we make kids show up for school because education matters, church ought to matter to your children and your home. If we make our kids show up to practice, we talking about practice. Practice. Allen Iverson. Because commitment matters, you're going to be committed to this. You're going to follow through. Then why don't you do the same thing with church? Yeah. We should not treat the house of God like it only matters when nothing else is on the calendar.
Come on. Good.
Because hear me today, parents. Do not make church optional and then be surprised when your children treat Jesus as optional. Everything you do is creating a priority system in your home, okay? Everything you do as a parent. In this church, everything that we do is creating a priority system, right? There's leadership, and then people who are in the church the leaders are creating a whole priority system in how we honor one another, how we speak to one another. There's a culture that's being cultivated. And from that, it begins to flow inside the house of God. Same thing happens in your home. You're creating a priority system in your home by your yeses and your noes. And your children are seeing this, and then they are following suit, right? So the greatest way to honor children is to teach them Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says this, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, in the morning, in the evening, and all the way through the day, the ways of Jesus are being taught. Now, I know there's some people we get caught up in, like, "Well, Pastor, I can't have a Bible study every day." Then let your life be a Bible study. Levi's sitting right here, our 12-year-old. We don't have Bible studies every day. We don't. We don't have glorious prayer sessions every day. No. But you know what he sees? The example of Scripture in my life, in his mom's life, is a Bible study for him. He is stuttering. He is studying the word through our action. And there are times that we'll step back and go, "Son, the reason that we are responding this way is because Scripture tells us this." That just became a whole Bible study for him without having to open the Bible. Yeah. This is what Deuteronomy is talking about. Is the words I command, it doesn't say they'll be, oh, this is good. It doesn't say that, hallelujah, amen. It doesn't say that they're commanded to be in your children's heart. In Deuteronomy, it says, "These words I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." In other words, it starts with you, mom. It starts with you, dad. It starts with you, grandma, grandpa, aunt, auntie, uncle, foster family. It starts with you putting the word in your heart so that you can, through your life, teach the word diligently to them. Speak life over them. It's great to make memories, have vacations. We do these things. It's great to have your kids involved in sports, activities, these things. Those are awesome things. They're not bad things. They can be good. But the better way to honor your children is by teaching them Jesus. Yeah. Praying with them. Speaking life over them. Ask what they learned in church. Model repentance. Model worship. Model forgiveness. Model honor. Model what it looks like to follow Jesus. Because hear me today, you cannot outsource your discipleship to the church and then blame the world for discipling your kids. We cannot hand our kids culture all week and then give the Jesus scraps at the end of the week or beginning of the week and then act shocked when culture has more influence than Christ. And that's the cycle that many of us find ourselves in. We can't give them the world on their phone or tablet with no oversight, no conversation, no boundaries, no discipleship, no follow-up, and then blame everyone else for what's being formed. Yeah. I'm not saying this in any kind of shame or condemnation. I'm saying this to wake us up to discipling the next generation again. Hear me, the government cannot disciple your child. You can't allow the school system to disciple your child. You can't lean on your coach, your kid's coach, to disciple your child. Lord knows, don't allow the algorithm that they're on to disciple them. I've heard it said before. Rex, you ever heard this? If they would just put prayer back in schools, man, world would be fixed. Just put prayer. When was the last time you prayed with them? When was the last time you opened Scripture with them? Why don't they read the Bible anymore? Why won't they allow my son to carry a Bible? When was the last time you picked up your Bible and even showed your children your Bible? You are expecting culture, a fallen world culture, to fix what your dedicated household isn't even practicing. Yeah. You got to disciple your kids. And the church is here, absolutely, to partner with you, to strengthen you, to encourage you. But church was never meant to replace the discipleship of your home. Church can help disciple your children, but it was never meant to replace your discipleship. Okay? So, parents, listen. When these kids get out of kids' church in just a few minutes, church doesn't stop for them. Discipleship does not stop for them. Yeah. You can ask our kids, even as pastor's kids, Sunday afternoon when we get home from lunch, or we get home for lunch, or we're going somewhere for lunch, one of the first questions that we ask, what'd you learn about church today? Sometimes we do it in the car, according to where we're going, if we have a meeting or whatever. So what'd you learn about church today? Let's talk about it. And I know kids are kids. Jesus? Okay, what about Jesus? Jesus is his name. Okay, what else did you learn? Youth doesn't stop when youth is over, parents. I know it's late at night when you pick up your kids. Ask them what they ask them what they learned about. Bond over the word. Even our nursery. I know they might be like, boo-boo, but listen. Start now. Maybe if it's not for them, maybe it just needs to be for you, that you need to start that practice of discipling yourself to actually asking your children, what'd you learn about today? Yeah. Yeah. Right? Like, ask them what they learned about. Talk to them about that. And I know sometimes they're going to say nothing. Ask anyways. Talk anyway. Pray anyway. Because over time, hear me, this is what you're doing. You are showing them that the things of the Lord matter in your home. Even if all they say is nothing back, every Sunday, every Wednesday, you are showing them there is value in the things of the Word of God in our home. When you show your kids there's value in that, they begin to tune their ears to the value of that. I'll give you this. My kids did not naturally come out of the womb liking professional wrestling. Follow me. Follow me. Their dad enjoys watching the soap opera of professional wrestling. It is a good soap. From that, my children started showing interest. Why? Because I repeatedly turned it on Monday nights and watched Monday Night Raw. Are you following me? They saw what I valued over and over and over and over again. And from that place, a value started being placed within them going, hey, this is pretty interesting. This is pretty fun. If you'll do the same thing with the word and with church and things of that nature, and you consistently put a value on that, your children going, hold on a second. That's interesting. Hold on. That word actually has the power to change me? Absolutely. Scripture says this, Psalm 119:11. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hear me, we declare the word and continue to put the word in front of our children. It can be something that they use later. So parents, be present. Be planted where your feet are. Some of us are more aware of what's going on in the nightly news than what's happening in our children's rooms. We're more feeding our fears and we're missing theirs. We know what's happening in Washington, who's the next president-elect and who's going to be running next and all of that. We know what's happening on the social media side of things. We know what's happening in the World Cup. We know what's happening in other sports with celebrities and on the news. But we have not sat down long enough and planted our feet, put our feet where we are planted long enough to know what our children are even carrying right now. Right? This is an imbalance. This is not treating children as a gift. So, sit down, talk, listen, ask questions, don't brush them off. I'm going to let media know I'm skipping quite a bit. But I still want to hit the meat of this, so just kind of follow along with me, if you will, media. Parents, you may write this down, children do not need perfect parents, they need present ones who keep pointing them to Jesus. That's what they need. Levi, do I always get it right? No. No shame. I'll tell you, no shame, I don't always get it right. But he'll know this, when I get it wrong, I do my best to make it right. I come back, I apologize, I'll repent. I'll actively work on responding in a better way listening better. That's what they need. They don't need you to be perfect. This is not a message of perfection. They need you to be present with them. I'll give it to you like this. My house, we eat dinner together at our family table almost every evening. Our table does not always look perfect. There may be crumbs on it, somebody's cup from yesterday, some sticky residue that's probably like an ice cream sandwich or something like that. There may be other things, fruit that's molding, because kids don't eat it, and neither do we. No, it's fine. Fruit flies are flying around. Those things might be present, but this is the thing. Our kids always know they have a place at that table. A place to come to the table and be fed the nutrients that they need. They don't have to earn a seat at the table. They belong because they're family. That's a natural picture of what we're called to look like in the Spirit. That, sure, we may not be perfect. We may not have everything together. But there's always a space at the table for children to eat and receive of the Word of God. And it has to come from the family table. Hear me, I wouldn't send my kids to their room all week to live on snacks, call them out one time for a meal, and then act shocked that they're not healthy because they've been surviving on Cheeto Puffs, right? So why do we do that spiritually? You send kids for a snack. Yeah. Whenever we're called to have daily bread and be the one that brings daily bread in our homes, we send our kids for the snack and expect the snack to sustain them for the whole week when culture is yelling loud. We expect that one thing they've received to sustain them. Are you seeing this today?
Yeah.
That we have a job, parents. We have a job, people of God, spiritual parents, mentors, coaches. We have a job to instill the Word of God. So hear me, if we want our children to be strong in the Lord later, we have to feed them the Word now. Honoring children means love and discipline. Teenagers, listen. Ephesians 6 and 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Parents, Paul's not telling parents to ignore children. He's not telling parents to crush children. He tells them, don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. That means biblical parenting has warmth and direction, affection and correction, encouragement and discipline. Means love and boundaries. Kids, listen to this, and parents, listen to this. A child honored without correction becomes entitled. A child honored without any correction, meaning you're going to do it anyways, whatever. A child honored without correction, because when you know something's wrong and you allow your children to do it anyways, it is not honor. You're actually dishonoring their heart. A child honored without correction becomes entitlement. So then they think they can get whatever they want. But a child corrected without love, without encouragement, that just becomes wounds. It is painful. We need both working together. We need the boundaries and we need the love, the encouragement and the discipline. So honor your kids by loving them, encouraging them, speak life over them. Tell them what you see in them. Tell them they're not an accident. Tell them God has purpose for their life. But also, don't yell at them until their spirit breaks.
Right.
Stop correcting them out of your own anger.
Right.
Discipline in love, because you're training them for life. And there's a difference between discipline and destruction. Some of us are calling crushing correcting. And it's not. We're crushing them. You can discipline your children without dishonoring their personhood. You can be firm without being cruel. They might call you cruel because it doesn't feel good in that time. But the truth is, you can be firm without being cruel. We cannot cash in on Scripture when it only benefits us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat it, and those who love will eat its fruit. In other words, you want to see life on your children? You want to see them become who God's called them to be? Speak that over them. But if you want to crush your kids and see them become scum and nothing, keep going. Keep crushing them. But eventually, we have to take some inventory. We can't just cash in on Scripture when we want to. So pray for your children. Teach them. Are you with me? You cannot build what you are constantly destroying. So parents, you set the tone of honor. You set the tone of honor. Now, this is where I want to bring this house rule into the homes. Parents, we set the tone. We set the tone for our homes, and together we set it for our church. Here's a hard part now of this for us parents. Your kids learn honor from you. Not just from what you preach, from what you practice. So don't expect your kids to honor you if you can't honor your parents. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response. Don't expect your kids to honor you if you cannot honor people in leadership. Don't expect your kids to honor you if you don't display honor to others. They hear how you talk about your parents. They hear how you talk about your pastors. You better not be talking bad about me, okay? I ain't that bad. They hear about how you talk about their teachers and coaches and bosses and your boss. Right. Other church people, other family members, everyone else. They hear that and they model honor based off what you model. That hurts. We have to take that kind of responsibility. But once again, it's our job to disciple our children. So don't be surprised when your children repeat the culture you created. So if every authority in your life's an idiot, don't be shocked when your children think you are one too. If every leader is mocked, don't be shocked when your children mock leadership. If every correction is treated like an offense, don't be shocked when your children cannot receive any correction from you. If every disagreement becomes a word of dishonor, don't be shocked when your children dishonor you when you disagree. Write this down, parents. You cannot demand an honor you refuse to display. Now, the balance is not every leader is right. It does not mean every parent is healthy. It does not mean every authority is godly. It's not what I'm saying. We don't ignore abuse and excuse sin and all these things and pretend like people don't cause damage. That's not what I'm saying. There's a difference between having a hard conversation and gossiping, though. There's a difference between seeking wisdom and just venting through bitterness. So if we want our children to learn honor, we got to model what it looks like to disagree with honor. Correct with honor. Speak with honor. Give me less than 5 more minutes. I'm going to close this up. Now, parents, if you want your children to show honor, then show them what honor looks like. Let them see the humility in you. Let them see how you forgive people when you're hurt. Maybe some of you, you're having issues with forgiveness in your home, and maybe it's because you have forgiveness with someone in your heart. You're wondering why your children have so much contempt towards you. Maybe it's because you have a lot of contempt towards someone else. Maybe that's something you need to deal with today. Worship. Show them how to worship when life is difficult. You wonder why your kid's tired but not worshiping. Show them what it looks like whenever you're tired, but you decide to worship anyways. Show them what it looks like to be faithful when it'd be much easier just to quit. They're not just listening to your lessons. They are learning from your life, friends. Now, I'm going to end with this long thought. This is where, youth, I want you to really lean into Pastor Micah's words for a moment, please. I'm going to ask for your attention. That children and youth are called to honor too. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is what? It ain't left. And it ain't wrong. It's right. This is what he goes on to say. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that they may be well with you and you may live long. Somebody say long. Long on the earth. I said this last week. Kids, you want to make it past 18? Start honoring your parents. Okay? Not because they're going to kill you. Scripture is clear here where it says, and this is part of the reason, is because your parents have wisdom. Whether you think they is dumb or not, they have wisdom, okay? And I know sometimes I've been there, okay? I was a teenager, I was a child once, and I did not like some of the rules my dad had. I did not like some of the rules my mom had. I understand. I didn't like the correction at times. And we're talking about this today. I told him, no, you didn't always get it right. Yes, sometimes you were harsher in tone. But this is the thing, even in those moments, their heart was for me, to protect me. I'm going to give you a very just natural viewpoint of this scripture for a moment. If we let kids do whatever they wanted to, it would end up in some pretty bad situations and decisions, whether it be through sickness, whether it be through running in the middle of the street and get hit by a car, whether it be through a litany of other things that sometimes kids just want to do because it sounds fun. We were coming out of a story the other day, and Reagan, our youngest, he is notorious for just walking as we're going into a restaurant or something, just like through the middle of the road. I'm like, Reagan, stop! There's a car! And even whenever I raise my voice at him, it's not because I'm trying to instant anger. It's because there is a boundary of protection I want to bring to his life because I see something that he doesn't see. Hear me. Kids, sometimes you don't see what your parents see. And they really love you and they actually do care about you and are trying to protect you from something. That doesn't mean that every parent's perfect. Parents aren't perfect. Some of us have made mistakes and we need to apologize for those things. Some of us are still learning because we never saw that example in our life. But honor is not based on perfection. Honor is based on God's order, kids. So, for the youth in the room, honor looks like listening, not just being heard. I tell people this often. Slow to speak, quick to listen. If you struggle with that, youth, if you struggle with that, I want you to start this simple practice, okay? Maybe adults, you need this too. When you're in a disagreement, before you say another word after that person's done speaking, count to three. If you can't count to three, that means you want to be heard over listening. You hear me? If I can't take that pause and go, hold on, that means I actually just want to be heard more than I do. I actually want to listen. Honor looks like obedience. Pastor Don, we can play. Not only obeying when you feel like it. Not only obeying when you agree with it. Not only obeying when you understand every reason for it. Honor looks like your attitude, because you can do the right thing with a dishonoring spirit. Honoring looks like how you talk, how you respond to correction, whether you carry gratitude for what your parents do, how they provide, how they sacrifice. Honor doesn't mean your parents never miss it. Honor does not mean you never have questions. Honor does not mean you cannot be honest. Honor means you value the role God gave them in your life, and you learn to respond to that with humility and obedience. Hear me. Correction is not always rejection. Sometimes correction is protection. Okay? It's for all of us today. So youth, your parents may not be perfect. But let me give you this. Rebellion does not lead you to freedom. And dishonor will not lead to blessing in accordance to Scripture. So parents, this is why we have to be careful. If your child is struggling to honor, don't only ask what's wrong with them. Also ask, what have they seen? What have I exampled? Have they seen the humility model? Have they seen me honoring? You set the tone. Children are not a headache to survive. They're a heritage to steward. They're not a headache to survive. They're a heritage to steward. So in this house, we honor children. From the oldest to the youngest kid in the room, we honor them. In this way, we honor them. We honor them by practicing what we actually preach and showing them what it looks like to live like Jesus. And kids, you're called to honor your parents and those in authority, not just your parents, and those in authority as well. In the ways we just talked about, will you stand to your feet? Did you get something out of this today? I know we went long. Thank you for staying with me. But today, I want to pray over families real quickly. Baby, we come here. Levi, we come here. I want to pray over families real quickly before we dismiss. I want to pray over the parents in the room who feel tired and overwhelmed, who maybe feel like they're stretched thin. I want to pray maybe if you felt convicted today. I want to pray over all these families and over the youth to walk in honor and humility in these areas. I want to pray over parents that God would give you wisdom and patience and strength, humility to lead. I want to pray that God would heal your home where honor has been broken. I want to pray that God would restore relationships. So will you pray with us today? Father, I thank you right now for every single family. Let me do this real quick before I go any further. If you're in this house and you're single, I want you to find a family around you and join with them just for a second. If you're by yourself today, God puts us in families. In families. This is the family of God. So I'm going to pray over this house too today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people right now. I thank you for the family of God. I thank you for every home that's represented in this house today. I thank you, Lord, that you bring healing into homes today. Where honor is broken, I thank you that it is restored today. Lord, as parents and as adults in this room, we repent for areas where we have been dishonorable. We repent today where we have treated children as an inconvenience or a headache. Lord, we repent of that. We fix our eyes on you who teaches us a better way. That children are a gift. They're a heritage from the Lord. Lord, they're an inheritance and a legacy that will continue the work of the kingdom even beyond us. So, Father, I thank you right now for a fresh honor that we have for children, that we sow into the life of the next generation in word, in doctrine, but also through exampling what it means and what it looks like to follow Jesus. Give us the strength and the grace to repent and apologize whenever we do wrong. Lord, give us even the strength to do what is right and example that even in their sight so that they know the ways of the Lord. Lord, we hide your word within our hearts today so that we may diligently teach our children the word of God through our action and through our speech, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for the children of this home. I thank you, God, that they arise today, God. Lord, that they fulfill your destiny that you have on their life. I thank you, God, that the anointing of God rests in their life, that they will know your voice from a young age, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So, God, we thank you. We put you as the leader today, and we say thank you for what you're doing in this house. Thank you for what you're doing in our homes. Lord, we thank you for it right now, and we give you thanks for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, we give God a hand clap and shout amen this morning, church.